Okay. Who else wants to speak? Well, let me just say one thing that
Michael through the stack. Am I audible?
Now you are, but let me just throw in one fact, which is that, and it's been alluded to tonight, but the bylaws are very clear that we must always offer a written paper ballot option, even if we also add e-balloting through a website. So any company that we, this is why actually you heard the language read a few minutes earlier, any company that, or nonprofit for that matter, that we engage has to be able to integrate the two methods of vote counting. And I remember that VoteNet, the company that Carolyn mentioned earlier, we did explore that with them last time, and I believe, my memory serves, that they said that they only do electronic balloting. So whoever we're engaged with, they need, if the board decides to go with e-balloting as one component, then the people who work with us on the technical end have to be able to handle both components together and merge the two to have a unified vote count. Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Janet Kay, can I get on the staff?
Yes, after Michael.
I guess I want to say that my impression is that the last election that we did have, given that we didn't have one last year when we were supposed to, was the costliest that we've ever had, my understanding, because we did have a company involved as compared to having just the balloting handled by the election supervisors. So I think we need to think, I think if we do e-balloting, it's got to be done professionally by somebody who really knows how to do e-balloting. But if we don't, I question whether, I don't think there are any cost savings involved in actually having ESG involved. And so I think we might want to look back farther than the 2012 election and look at what some of the costs were in the years when we basically conducted elections at each of the stations and then the national election by tallying them up.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, Janet?
Yeah, so I'm beginning to think that trying to do e-balloting or provide e-balloting as an option would cost more because we would also have to provide the paper ballot option. And then in addition, the e-balloting, which it's a whole new way of doing things, but still, it's an added I think it would be an added cost rather than cost savings. I'm done.
Margie does want to be on the list.
Go ahead, Margie.
So there was, you know, there was a someone earlier tonight mentioned the question of having the balloting done at the local stations, and that's actually how it used to be done. It used to be each station conducted its own balloting and used different people, volunteers, and you know there were. I mean, it was all different, and I don't know. I'm not completely clear about why we went to this business of having the ballots being done nationally, but I think it had something to do with the factionalism in the organization and people's concerns about whether things were, you know, going to be done properly or not. So it occurred to me, and I floated this idea with some people, that perhaps one of the things that we could do would be to go back to having the balloting done at local stations. But I think that creates an unfairness because there might very well be stations that can't afford to do elections or to do the balloting locally. and would therefore be, you know, not would not be in the would not have an equal position to stations that could afford it. And I just wanted to throw that out there for people to think about. I don't know what the solution is, but I feel very strongly that as long as we have the governance structure that we have, that it's terribly important that we do, that we have elections, and I think it's terribly important that we find a way to do it that works, that is both equitable and less expensive than what we've gone through. It just seemed to me that it was that the expense of the last election was simply shocking, and I don't know what the answer is, but I did want to raise that question because some people have been talking about it, and I don't think it's a particularly useful way to look at it, but maybe people have ideas that could bounce off of that.
Okay, who else would like to speak on cost cutting? Well, okay. If folks really don't have more to say,
I have a question.
I'm sorry?
I have a proposal.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Not sure if someone will consider this year's proposal, but let me just throw all the names of the qualified candidates in a hat and go out to Times Square or something and have people randomly pick. You can put it on YouTube so folks can see it happen.
Second.
I like that. I think it's very attractive. Except we have to do STD voting.
Thank you, Steph.
Okay.
We could actually do that and have members do the selection. Just have a group of members, have them draw their names from a hat, have each one of them come up and select a candidate. Put that on YouTube.
And do it on a windy day, huh?
That wouldn't get us much different results, I don't think.
All right. Well, if there are no other comments people want to make.
Sorry, Michael Dubasek.
Oh, go ahead.
I think one of the big expenses is actually mailing the candidate statements.
Right.
I think one of the opt-in or opt-out, I don't know what the right language is, we could ask people who wanted to receive the candidate statements in print by mail to request it. Otherwise, the default would be that they're available online. I think that would reduce the mailing expenses quite substantially, particularly at a station like KPFK, where we're going to have to elect our entire board, all 24 seats. Next time. If you didn't get quorum last time.
Okay.
Janet Kay?
Yes, go ahead.
So my reaction to what Michael just said is that how do we notify members that they would be able to, or that they would have an option to get them mailed candidate statements or not. I mean, that would be either a mailing or online, I'm sorry, on-air announcements. Or, I mean, it's just, that gets complicated as well. But anyway, that's...
Michael, did you want to respond?
Well, my idea is that we'd be mailing out a ballot. And, so in that mailer, people can be told that if they want it, additional mailing of the candidate statements, they could request it with a phone call.
That would delay the whole thing also.
Well, there's a very long time frame to the bylaws.
Yeah, it's a 6-week interval.
Yeah. This is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
Don't we normally, or do we, I don't know, do we normally send the candidate statement with the ballot?
Well, I can tell you what has happened historically and what happened in 2012. Historically, the full 500-word statements have been mailed with the ballots until 2012 when the PNB decided to only send I believe it was 150 or perhaps it was 200 words, but anyway, a much shortened version in the printed version that went with the ballot, and then there was a statement on there that said, this is, you know, a shorter version. If you want to read the longer version, go to such and such website. So that was the compromise that was decided for the 2012 elections.
Some way to compress that whole action there would save a lot of money.
Okay. Other comments on Michael's proposal? Any opinions, pro or con, amendments?
This is Marty saying good night.
Oh, okay. Good night, Marty.
Good night, Mark.
Hi. Janet Kay.
Go ahead, Janet.
Well, from what you described about what was done in 2012, that makes sense to me. I mean, that's a compromise rather than not sending out any candidate statement with the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who else wants to speak?
Carolyn, on the stack, please.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was knocked off. Are we talking about opt-in and opt-out, or
At the moment, we're talking about a very specific suggestion that Michael Novick just made, which is that that this year or this election, the printed ballot be sent, but instead of accompanying it with a printed full candidate statement, that there just be a statement that if you need the printed version of the candidate statement, go to such and such, or I'm sorry, they're online, or if you need them printed, call this number or write this address and you'll get it sent in the mail to you.
Oh, great. Right.
So I guess that would be, I guess the way to refer to that, I mean, there's often confusion about opt-in versus opt-out, but to my way of thinking, I would consider that an opt-in. In other words, unless you take a proactive step,
right,
you will not get the printed material about the candidate statements. You will get the ballot. That's Michael's proposal. Michael, is that an accurate summary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that statement was allowed with the ballot, but not with the preliminary mailing that was supposed to clean the list. Is that correct?
Well, okay, these are two different things. I believe that Margie reported that she's talked to the general managers about cleaning the list sooner,
mm-hmm.
and, I'm not sure of the exact status of that, but that's something that we've recommended the PNB pass a mandate, and, you know, that can be dealt with separately. So that's a different issue. This is just the actual ballot. And with
let's move out with the ballot. That's
right.
Much more.
And the question was,
right,
what
you
should accompany the ballot? Okay, go ahead, Serene.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have tremendous concerns about having people have to, first of all, there are many people who I think just sort of do things at the last minute, so they're going to say, yeah, I've got to do this, and then they open it and they realize the information that they need to make a decision or make their selections is not available. It has been difficult enough for people to get replacement ballots even after they've proven that they've paid their money. I know that in the case of the last election, someone who was a member of the Houston station verified the payment had been received emails back and forth between the balloting company that was handling the ballot and the KPFT membership people. There was no question about whether or not the money had been paid in time and received, et cetera, et cetera. But the person never actually got a ballot. This is after more than 3 weeks of communication. We're going to ask people to go through a process, which we hope will work well, but, you know, history speaks, to even get the information about whom they would want to vote for. I think the, and I acknowledge that there are costs associated with this, but I think that the obligation is to, you want to make it easy for people to do the things that you want them to do. And a good portion of our listenership is not connected in terms of that 24/7 access that many people who are involved in Pacifica governance seem to live by and for. So it, to me, it's problematic to make that request, even if it were, even if the whole process and, you know, getting even basic elections, elections announcements becomes difficult because we end up spanning fundraising drives and so on and so forth, and this year we'll be competing in terms of the attention of the membership with the real-world elections, the midterm elections for U.S. government. Even if we were able to integrate this announcement into those general LSC election announcements, I still think we're looking at a significant portion of the membership not getting the information or not getting it on time or not being able to find their ballot by the time they get it. I mean, having everything in one package, you grab the package, you sit down, you put in your 15 minutes or whatever it is, and you do your voting. I think that, you know, invaluable.
Okay. Other people? Someone who has a lot of noise in the background, please mute. Does anyone else want to speak on this topic? Or if we're done on this topic, what about on any other aspect of this cutting? All right. Well, if in fact we're done for tonight on this, then I guess my suggestion would be we think about the issues that have been raised and return to it next time and try to make a decision on what we want to recommend concerning the candidate statements. Was that Lawrence or someone else wanting to speak? I thought I heard a voice. No? Okay. All right, I guess we're ready to move on then. Let's see, we skipped the question of the timeline working group. Well, let me just announce here that the next committee meeting is Tuesday, August 19th. That was already decided. All right, with that said, timeline working group. I know they weren't able to meet. So does anyone from the group want to speak about next steps?
Jane.
Go ahead.
We didn't meet. We were supposed to meet on Friday, and I think maybe four of us had confirmed or five of us had confirmed, and myself and three others were not able to make the call for various reasons. One member was present, but did not have the discussion by herself and vote, shockingly. Anyway, so we can try again. I did propose that we try again for Sunday, but I guess that didn't work out for anyone. I didn't get any responses on that.
Okay. All right. So I guess whoever wants to continue being part of that can respond to any proposals for a date and time. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on this, or are we, is that it? Okay.
Michael, for the sec.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just looking at the dates. People should be aware that given current date and the likelihood of not being able to really launch the process till September 1st at the earliest, if that's the date in the reposting for the NES. We're looking at a process that extends into February with extensions into March. So everybody should just think about that.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, Carolyn, I had a question. I think I lost the thread at the beginning of the meeting. Is there a close date for applications for the NES?
August 15th.
August 15th, and that's the final date. Yeah. And we already have three applications.
Well, that was from the earlier posting way, way back months ago.
Oh, so we may have more. Okay.
No, let me repeat what Margie told the entire committee earlier, which is that there were these three that came in earlier that were reported by the former IED, but since the reposting last week, there have been no new applications.
Okay, so we have three old and no new.
Right.
And August 15th deadline. Thank you.
This is Kim. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Well, those three are still going to be considered and included, aren't they? Even if we get more.
As far as I know, I don't know why they wouldn't be. I was just clarifying the time frame. Okay. Anything else on the timeline working group? Okay. So the final item is the status of the 2012 and 2013 committee motions that were never acted on.
Janet Kate?
Yes.
Can I bring up something about our meetings? I mean, you went by that announcement of the next meeting real quick.
Go ahead.
And I'm wondering whether we should try to have another meeting before the 19th. And I'm looking at the Pacifica calendar right now, and the only date that seems to be available would be Monday the 4th, which is a week from today.
Okay,
I'm just putting that out there as a
Let me point out we had this exact discussion last time, and the decision of the committee was that it made sense to wait till the deadline that we had requested for the National Finance Committee to give us a financial assessment about the feasibility of elections until we have that response from them, and based on that we chose the 19th.
Well, it's just that we have there's other work maybe that can be done. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just, I'll drop it.
Okay. Did I hear another voice who wanted to speak?
Michael Novick, I was just saying it's after the deadline for that for NES application, too.
Right. Okay. All right. So then going back to the old motions that were never acted on by the PNB, I'll be happy to put them together and send them out to everyone. My recollection is that they're primarily about later stages in the election process, things like carts for candidates, on-air candidate debates. I don't remember all the issues, but I'll put them out and we can look at them and see, you know, if we want to deal with them now or, you know, how we want to move with them or whether we want to move with them. But I do think, you know, they still are listed on the PNB's ongoing agendas of old business to take care of. So I think it would be good for us to decide if we still agree that these are correct motions that we want to push forward. Does anyone have any thoughts on that? I know it's hard to do in the abstract if you haven't seen them, so I will definitely get those out to folks.
Yeah, they're actually on the PNB agenda, which folks can find on KPFT, et cetera. Or you can just go to kpft.org and kpftx.org and pull it off and send it from there. Well.
Okay.
Janet Kay?
Yes.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. Is there any objection? Okay. Hearing none, then the meeting is adjourned. Good night, everyone.
Good night.